This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holsworth joins us on Monday afternoons, formerly of VCU, the founder and president of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Must reading for anybody who wants to keep track of politics in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Coy. How are you doing today?
Very good. You enjoying this weather?
How can you not?
Now, are you a gardener? Do you have a little plot somewhere? Or are you...
No, I wish I could say I was, but I really am not.
Yeah. I do not, although I grew up with my dad was, big time, especially tomatoes. They had that every summer, big tomato garden.
And where'd you live?
Northern Virginia, Atlanta, and then Northern Virginia.
Right. Now, I grew up in New Jersey, where tomatoes were really big there. Hard to believe for some people.
Yeah. Well, New Jersey, so much of New Jersey is actually rural, and most people don't know that. But there's beautiful rural parts of Jersey.
And not too many people know that at all. They mostly know the exits on the turnpike, right?
Right. Also, a beautiful beach. I've been to Long Beach Island.
I summered there very often when I was a young kid.
So. Yeah, that's a fun beach. Hey, Bob, let's get an update from you about the latest on the race for governor. We have four gentlemen vying for that honor, three of which are vying for the Democratic nomination to run against Bob McDonnell. What's the latest?
Well, all these polls keep showing these Democrats in this very, very close race. Brian Moran seems to be a little bit in the lead in the public polls, with Cree Deeds a little behind the two. But most people, I think, believe this is a fairly open race right now. And a lot of it's going to depend at the end of the day on how many people turn out. If it's 150 to 200,000 people or very low turnout, then I think Moran and Deeds have a real shot at winning. If this turnout winds up being 400,000 or 350,000, then I think it's going to be very difficult to beat Terry McAuliffe.
And why is that? Because we would see more people turning out in Northern Virginia?
Well, I think it's going to be because their strategies are very different. That Moran and Deeds have what I call a friends and neighbors strategy, or one that says, like Tip O'Neill once said, all politics is local. They're really depending on the people they've known for a long time in Virginia. They believe it's going to be very low turnout, and the only people who are going to show up are the hardcore Democratic activists that they've worked with for 10, 15, 20 years. On the other hand, Terry McAuliffe is premising his campaign on the notion that he can turn out what he calls surge voters, some of the people who may have only shown up in federal elections, some of the people who may have come out and voted for Obama. He thinks that he can, through his resources and his charisma, generate a larger Democratic turnout of voters who don't always participate, who may not know Brian Moran or Cree Deeds very much at all, and are going to like the fact that McAuliffe, this big personality with big ideas, who is focusing on one of the biggest issues in Virginia, jobs. So a lot of it depends on whether Terry McAuliffe can actually gain and generate the excitement among voters who didn't participate in the Democratic primary for Senate in 2006 or the Democratic primary for Lieutenant Governor in 2005.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. And you mentioned McAuliffe. I understand Bill Clinton is actually in Virginia campaigning for McAuliffe. Is that right?
They made two appearances today, I believe. They were here in Richmond in the morning, and this afternoon they were in Roanoke. And it's an interesting feature that, on one hand, a lot of people have been saying that, you know, the Clintons would be baggage for McAuliffe. He wouldn't want them to be around here in Virginia. And I did a post the other week, and I said that, McAuliffe seems to be saying is like that old Holly song, he's not heavy, that essentially what he's suggesting is that Clinton can really help him here because Clinton had a message of job creation. Clinton had a lot of success at doing that. And in some ways, I think what McAuliffe is saying that maybe one Clinton trumps 50 local endorsements for Moran or Deeds.
Which they certainly have gotten a lot more of those local endorsements, Moran and Deeds, than McAuliffe has.
Every day. That's what you see, that you see all of these local officials who've known these guys and worked with them. They're being loyal, and they're saying, we're going to stick with what we know. McAuliffe, on the other hand, is saying, no, if Virginian Democrats are going to beat Bob McDonald, they're going to need somebody who brings a little more excitement to the race, who brings a different approach, who doesn't come out of the legislature. That's what we'll need. At the end of the day, we'll have to see what the Democrats are going to do. But right now, what the polls seem to be showing, Coy, A lot of people are undecided. They just haven't made up their mind about where they want to go. And if those undecideds turn out to be non-voters, it's probably bad news for Terry McAuliffe. If somehow he can motivate a large number of them to come out and vote, he'll have a real shot at getting the nomination.
And remind us again when this primary will be held.
June 9th,
which
at a time when a lot of people are, you know, worried about the end of school. You know, they're going to their awards night. They're going to the
getting ready to go to the beach.
Yeah, PTA meetings. They're scheduling their summer vacation.
Graduations.
Graduation. You know, the families are coming in. A lot of people don't have politics on their mind on June 9th.
Absolutely. My guest is Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, there's been a handful of debates, one or two debates thus far. There's another one tomorrow night in Danville for these three candidates vying for the Democratic nomination for governor. That is sponsored by the Sorensen Institute. I will be there. In fact, I'm the official timekeeper for that forum, and I will have complete audio.
You'll do a great job.
Well, thank you. I'll have complete audio of that forum to broadcast on this program when I get back. But tell us how they're shaping up thus far in these debates, which, you know, frankly, when most people get news of this of these campaigns and this race, it's debate news. What happened last night in some debate somewhere?
Well, you know, so far, I think what we've seen is, you know, one debate where there were some pretty sharp attacks based on who was getting what money. That it seemed that we went through a week where everyone was saying that my money was cleaner than yours. And now, then they had a second debate in front of the VEA, in which they basically agreed with a lot of the positions that each other had about education, and it was just a question about who was going to be more effective. I think what's happening in these debates, as I see them, is that unlike the general election debate where a lot of people are tuning in, what happens is that people really don't see them, they don't hear them, they read a couple of reports about them. And these reports tend to minimize, in some sense, the stylistic differences and just focus on what they've said. And maybe that's good, but I also think that in choosing a candidate, particularly for the Democrats in this race, they're going to have to decide not only whose issues they like, but who they think at the end of the day is best positioned to beat Bob McDonnell. And in some ways, without seeing the debate, it's hard for people to get a grasp of that.
Right, right. That's a good point. Give us a rundown, all three of them, you know, Moran's, McAuliffe, and Deeds. What do they each need to be particularly keeping in mind or doing in these forums and in these debates that are held across Virginia in the next few weeks?
Well, McAuliffe has to continue to try to generate energy. He has to try to find a way to distinguish himself from the other two. Because if he's not very different in some significant way, why vote for somebody who's more an outsider than an insider to Virginia? So I think McAuliffe's challenge is to continue to find a way to distinguish himself not only on issues, but in terms of enthusiasm, energy, the argument that he's a better candidate against Bob McDonnell. Brian Moran, I think, has been doing a fairly good job getting these local endorsements. I think he's been doing a good job in appealing to many of the Democratic activist groups. One of the things he did last week was to distinguish himself from Deeds and McAuliffe on the marriage amendment by saying that he would work to repeal it, while McAuliffe said that that was really a waste of time since it wasn't going to be repealed. But it was a symbolic statement by Moran, and at the end of the day, he wound up doing well getting a major gay-lesbian organization to endorse him. So Moran, I think, is going to continue that strategy of appealing to the activist groups in the party and working on the local officials. Deeds is trying, in some way, to position Moran and McAuliffe in the same camp. He's basically saying these are two Northern Virginians, neither of whom are likely to be able to run a good statewide campaign, and that I'm the best candidate if you're really thinking about who can beat Bob McDonnell. Probably not a bad strategy for Cree Deeds. The question is, does he have the resources to be able to convey that outside the debate and on television over the last 30 days of the campaign?
And it's an argument, would you agree, Bob, that holds some water because among those three, Cree Deeds is the only one that's run against him, right? And he almost
right.
beat him.
There's a plus and a minus on that. On one hand, Cree Deeds can say, I ran against Bob McDonnell and I only lost by 300 votes. I was basically dead even. You know that I can run against him. I think the argument against it is twofold. On one hand, McDonnell's in a stronger position now than he was 4 years ago because he's been the attorney general for 4 years.
Right.
And I think probably the second argument that some people would make is that Deeds also ran in that race 6 points behind the top of the ticket. So, yes, he ran even with Bob McDonald, but he ran even with McDonald while Tim Kaine was thrashing, Jerry Kilgore.
Good point. He wasn't at the top of the ticket at the time, right?
Right. So there's a plus and a minus about that, but I think what Deeds is trying to do, and I think it's probably a smart strategy, is to position both Moran and McAuliffe as Northern Virginians who are out of touch culturally with the rest of Virginia, and that he stands the best chance in the general election.
Something like that real Virginia argument that we often hear conservatives make.
But he's not going to use those words.
No, wisely. Bob Holdsworth is my guest, virginiatomorrow.com. Bob, talk a little bit about energy and how that's shaping up to be a critical issue in this campaign.
Well, this is one of the more unique aspects in this race, and it may be a harbinger or a sign of what's likely to come in American politics as well. We've never really had a campaign that energy/environmental issues have been at the heart of at a gubernatorial level. For many years, the environmentalists have always said that if you take a look at any public opinion poll, we always seem to be polling very well. People are very strongly in favor of the environment, but it never hits an issue in the campaign. And I think the reason is that no politician actually believed that people voted on this issue. Now, with the energy crisis, what's happened is that it's become actually, to use a bad pun, put on the front burner of Virginia politics. And what is now happening here is that the Democrats are taking a position, particularly Moran and McAuliffe, that contrasts very strongly with where Bowling and particularly the gubernatorial candidate, Bob McDonald, is on. And here's the argument. The Republicans are basically saying that the Democrats don't have an energy policy. All they have is a policy about greening. And what the Republicans are saying is that, yes, we need renewables, we need wind, and we need solar, and we need biodiesel. We need all the kind of renewable energy that we can find, or particularly wind and solar there. But we also, in order to have a reliable form of energy, and in order to have a form of energy that's cost-efficient, and to have some form of energy that kind of gives us energy independence, we need to have coal, we need to have offshore drilling, we need to have oil and gas, we need to have nuclear, we need to have it all. And they are very, very comfortable, I think, running on that platform. They're going to argue that the Democrats' green platform, in some ways, doesn't provide enough energy, doesn't provide a reliable source of energy. The Democrats, particularly, as I said, Moran and McAuliffe, but I think Deeds to some extent as well, are arguing that what we need to do is that we need to really have a dramatic redirection in energy production and consumption. And in particular, we need to have mandatory use of renewables, that it has to, that, you know, 25% or 20% of the energy of Virginia by 2020 should be produced by renewables, and there needs to be some strict regulation that moves us in that direction.
Are places like California doing this already?
Yeah, there are a number of states that have mandatory, and I don't know whether it's 18 or 19, but there are a whole set of states that are moving to this. And in fact, what McAuliffe and Moran, and I think to some extent Deeds as well, are all saying, is that Virginia needs to move much more quickly to get in the lead of this. They say right now we're lagging. So essentially what they want to do is they want to find a way to move us sort of this great leap forward in terms of energy research, particularly on renewable energy. Interestingly, you mentioned Bill Clinton earlier, and what Clinton said today was that he said this is one of the big differences between the two parties. And he said that, in fact, the Democrats believe right now that how we consume and produce energy and changing that is the key to long-term job growth and long-term economic growth in the United States. Essentially, I think what the Democrats are saying is that new sources of energy, renewable sources of energy, have become, you know, in some ways, you know, the new technologies, that they've become the new way that the whole economy is going to be moving forward. As Clinton said today, he said it's the key to the whole economy. Republicans don't believe that. Republicans believe that renewables are part of an energy plan, but only part. and they think that they're going to win this argument by appealing to people on the basis of cost, on the basis of fairly immediate ways of solving problems. They're going to say the Democrats have a long-term plan that doesn't do very much for us in the short term.
Bob Holdsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com, must reading if you want to know what's going on in Virginia politics. Bob joins us on Monday afternoons. Bob, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Always great to be here, Coy.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.